Paul Garner, narrator.
This is From the Postman by David Brin. Gordon's smile was bitterly thin as he sat up carefully, backing along his rocky perch until he felt sure he was out of view of the slope below. He plucked his travel belt free of twigs and drew the half-full canteen for a long, desperately needed drink. Bless you, paranoia, he thought. Not once since the Doom War had he ever allowed the belt more than 3 feet from his side. It was the only thing he had been able to grab before diving into the brambles. The dark gray metal of his .38 revolver shone even under a fine layer of dust as he drew it from his holster. Gordon blew on the snub-nosed weapon and carefully checked its action. Soft clicking testified in understated eloquence to the craftsmanship and deadly precision of another age. Even in killing, the old world had made well. Especially in the art of killing, Gordon reminded himself. This is from The Romanov Prophecy by Steve Barry. The Russian read the page slowly, then said,
Definitely Lenin. I am familiar with his writing style, too.
Curious. My thought exactly. Pashenko's eyes lit up.
Surely you do not believe those stories that two of the royal family survived the execution at Yekaterinburg?
He shrugged. To this day, the bodies of Alexei and Anastasia have never been found. Now this.
Pashenko grinned. Americans really are conspiratorialists. A plot into everything.
It's my job at the moment.
What? Being American? A conspiratorialist? Or a CIA agent?
All three, I suppose.
You are a charming man, Mr. Lord. But that does not do you justice. No, not charming. Your President Kennedy and later Clinton, yes, they were charming. You are clever.
You like chess?
Yes, I do. But I don't play.
And why not? As a chess player, Mr. Pashenko, I'm charming. This is from Impact by Peter Metzler. It was on a cold Sunday morning that Mom decided we should take the risk, go outside and get some fresh air in a nearby park. We no sooner arrived there when the air raid siren sounded. Once again, the British were on their way. Everybody hurried to air raid shelters. The shelters were dimly lit, cold concrete bunkers. I cried in fright while Mom told me not to worry, that all this would be over soon. We could hear explosions overhead. When the all clear sounded, everybody left the shelters. I remember wearing thick, red, knobby gloves. Holding my mom's hand, we walked down the street on trolley tracks. Since there was school the next day, I walked with my head down, looking for pieces of shrapnel to collect and trade. I looked ahead about 25 feet and saw a piece the likes of which I had never seen before. It was very large, and all I could think was that I would be a big shot in school the next day with such a sizable find. Anybody wanting to trade for this piece would have to give me many of theirs. I pulled away from Mom and ran to pick up my find. It was heavy, and I felt heat coming through my thick gloves. Excited, I showed Mom my prize. She took one look at it, put her hands under mine, and heaved my treasure away. I was about to start crying when, a few seconds later, it exploded, not more than 15 feet from us. Whatever it was, my find was live. It left a sizable crater in the street. We might both have been blown to dust had Mom not thrown it away. Yet my only regret was I wouldn't be a big shot in school the next day.